Since tasers were introduced in the late 1990s, they've become commonplace among law enforcement officers nationwide.
Well, upwards of 90% of all law enforcement agencies in the U.S. are equipped with tasers. The promise that attracted them was that they were weapons that could reduce officer-involved shootings and reduce the need for officers to get in physical altercations with suspects.
So where previously the options were either to use a baton or maybe pepper spray or else the gun, the promise of the weapon was that you could take down violent or threatening suspects without a fight.
That's Peter Eisler, a journalist with Reuters, who's behind a new project that digs into the reality of tasers and if they're actually as safe as they were promised to be. And the show's Lauren Gilger spoke to him more about this recently. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. So Eisler and a team of reporters dug into police reports, court records, and coroner's reports nationwide, and they found that more than 1,000 incidents since the year 2000 where people died after they were hit by police with a taser. And when I talked with Eisler more about this project, we started by talking about how tasers actually work and why some people end up dying when they're hit with them.
Well, in these cases that we looked at, most often tasers are used in connection with other types of force. So there might be a beating where a taser is used or, you know, multiple officers, choke holds, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So figuring out the mechanism of death in these cases can be very complicated. Taser has long maintained that almost none of these deaths have anything to do with the taser. What we did was we went out and we tried to get autopsies on as many of these cases as we could, and we found at least 150 cases where medical examiners and coroners had cited the taser either as a cause of death or as a contributing factor in mm-hmm. that death. As the science around tasers has evolved, what has become more apparent and more widely accepted is that tasers can, in rare circumstances, what they call capture the heartbeat, effectively taking over the heart, causing a rapid increase in heart rate, and that's a condition that can ultimately lead to a fatal cardiac arrest.
Is that in people who already have heart conditions, or can that just kind of happen as a fluke?
So tasers' warnings about the risks associated with these weapons have become far more expansive over the years, and tasers warns not to use the weapons against people who are frail, people who are elderly, women who may be pregnant, people who are very young, people with pre-existing heart conditions and various other types of pre-existing conditions, people who are going through a mental health crisis, people who are intoxicated under the influence of certain kinds of drugs and so forth. All of those things are considered risk factors that can make you more susceptible to the dangers that a taser may pose.
Right. And that poses a problem, though, for law enforcement. I want to talk a little bit about the way officers might be trained in dealing with tasers, because how is it that you know any of those pre-existing conditions or any of those situations when you're an officer when you go into some sort of conflict?
Well, that is the big challenge for police. As the warnings around these weapons have become more expansive, some police departments have begun narrowing their policies for when and how you can use them. So when tasers first came out, there were hardly any warnings associated with them. It was, you know, officers were advised to shoot directly for center mass, right at the middle of the chest. Taser now advises officers to avoid chest shots. So the question about the utility of these weapons has become increasingly pressing as the circumstances in which they can be used have been narrowed down. And this issue of police in the heat of the moment having to figure out, you know, well, can I use the taser on this person? Can I use it in this situation? Have become very vexing. And that is a real struggle that a lot of departments are dealing with right now.
Yeah. I wonder, in the course of your reporting, if you spoke with some law enforcement officers about this, how do they feel about it? Do they feel like this is a tool that is useful, or is something that they're a little wary of now?
I think what we heard most, and we interviewed many, many police officers and police officials, was that, yes, tasers still have utility. They still have a use. They still have a place on an officer's belt. But the place that they have has become much smaller. The circumstances in which they are appropriate for use has become very, very narrow, not only because of the warnings that have come from Taser, but also because of the case law that has emerged from a lot of the litigation that has come out of these deaths. So courts in many parts of the country now have said, you know, you cannot use a taser unless you are using it in a situation where an officer or a member of the public is facing an imminent physical threat, an imminent threat of physical harm.
So you mentioned that Taser maintains that none of these deaths were directly caused by their product. What has their response been to the rest of your reporting on this?
They assert that these weapons are safe, fundamentally and overwhelmingly safe, and that they do have a broad array of legitimate uses, and that they have been studied thoroughly, and that they remain, of course, far safer than guns, of course, which are intended to be lethal. Taser's position is that the only time tasers have actually killed someone is from what they call secondary injuries. So because a taser paralyzes you when you're stunned with it, people often fall down and smack their head on the ground. They might fracture their skull. So that would be one way that people can die from a taser. So Taser's position is really they acknowledge that there is a theoretical risk of a fatal cardiac event associated with these weapons. But while they acknowledge that it is possible, they insist that it has never actually happened.
All right. Peter Eisler is a national affairs correspondent with Reuters. Peter, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.